It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So for us now, turn our attention to our daily focus, and our daily focus is on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we're zooming into the atonement and cleansing. Joining us now to help us understand what we're talking about here is Pastor, Evangelist Brighton Hichilema. Good afternoon to you, Evangelist, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Hope you're okay.
I am. Thank you very much. So we're talking about atonement and cleansing. Just define these for us before we get into our conversation. What is atonement and what is cleansing?
All right. Thank you so much. So beginning with atonement, we are basically talking about the reconciliation between the sinful humanity and the Holy God, where the emphasis lies on Jesus Christ, who is the atoning sacrifice himself, in and through whom this reconciliation becomes possible for mankind. So this is according to Romans chapter 3, reading on verse number 25. So it gives us a clue that Jesus Christ was presented as a sacrifice to pay for our sins through shedding of his blood. Whereas when we talk about cleansing, we are talking about the process through which one is seen being cleansed or washed away, being blotted out through daily confession. Basically, that's maybe what I can highlight. And then also, before we begin the discussions, just still on the introduction, I would love to make mention that according to the SDA beliefs, actually regarding the life of Christ, his death and resurrection, it stated that through Christ's perfect obedience to God's will, so his suffering, death and resurrection, actually God provided the only means of atonement for human sin, so that those who by faith accept him, through this atonement, they may have life. And when we read Romans chapter 5 verse 11, it affirms our receipt of this atonement through Jesus Christ, and for this we can boast about.
Okay, all right. So let's jump right in, Evangelist. So how do Adventists understand the concept of cleansing in relation to Jesus's death and resurrection?
So the manner in which the Adventists understand the cleansing in relation to the death of Jesus Christ, first, what we find is the sanctuary itself, where if we are to go back in the Old Testament, the system that was used in the sanctuary, we discover that the atonement was actually involved animal sacrifices and priestly work in the sanctuary. And in Leviticus chapter 5, we find an outline of the procedures for how individuals offered these sacrifices. So the system itself symbolized how Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, would become an atonement for humanity's sin. So in the pipeline or in the vein of the sanctuary message, we understand that everything that happened in the sanctuary was pointing to the service or the services that Jesus Christ would give for mankind in order to provide a complete redemption to the end.
Okay.
Then the other thing,
Go ahead, Evangelist.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much. So the other message or the other thing that I can talk about is that the understanding is also found in line of his death and the judgment. Because when we read the book of Daniel, chapter 8, here we discover that there is a vision which is given to Daniel about Christ's death and his judgment altogether. So where we discover to say Christ's death and the judgment are inseparably linked. So his sacrifice on the cross paved the way for our redemption, and the judgment vindicates his faithful followers that claim their faith or that profess their faith in Jesus Christ. So in view of this, so in the end, I would love to say the sanctuary is a very crucial message which gives a framework for us to understand Christ's redemptive work and his intercession and the ultimate vindication of his people, where finally to lead us to the cleansing of this sanctuary and the restoration of God's people to the rightful order and in the right time.
Okay. So let's go to the Bible. What biblical passages or theological doctrines do Adventists draw upon to support the emphasis on the cleansing aspect of Jesus' sacrifice?
So one of the biblical passages we find, we have Daniel chapter 8 and also Daniel chapter 9. If we read on Daniel chapter 8, reading on verse number 14, the Bible talks about the cleansing of the sanctuary there. And then in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, we are given a 70-week prophecy which culminates in the Messiah's work of his atonement, and where the cleansing aspect is tied to Jesus' sacrifice as the ultimate high priest who entered the sanctuary at that time which was appointed. So the other passage that we can just read about is Hebrews chapter 9, reading on verse number 11 to verse number 14. Here, Jesus Christ speaks about his blood purifying our consciences from dead works to save the living God. And in chapter 10, 19 to 22, the Bible there encourages believers to enter in the sanctuary with confidence, with boldness, knowing that Jesus Christ grants access and also cleansing to whoever accepts him as his personal savior. So if we are to go back a little bit in the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16, there we find that there was a Day of Atonement which was annually, or which was annual, when the high priest entered the most holy place to make atonement for the people. So this typifies also Jesus' work as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. So according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 to 14, here we find also the earthly Day of Atonement and Jesus' sacrifice emphasizing the cleansing aspect.
Okay, all right. So in what ways does Adventist theology differentiate between forgiveness of sin and cleansing from sin through Jesus' death and resurrection?
All right, thank you so much. So the way they differentiate the cleansing aspect and also the forgiveness through the death of Jesus Christ is where we understand to say forgiveness of sin is rooted or is based on his sacrificial death on the cross. His perfect obedience and substitutionary death, a sacrifice, actually liberates us all from our guilty. So the result of this, we understand, we discover that Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and through him, we receive this forgiveness of our sins because on the cross, he paid everything, he paid it all. And we are no longer held accountable for every sin that is confessed, which Jesus Christ died for on the cross. Whereas when we are talking about cleansing from sin, we are talking about the process through which a sinner on a daily basis, because of their falling and also confession to Jesus Christ, their sins are being put away by or through Christ Jesus, who is in the heavenly sanctuary. So Jesus Christ, he presents his sacrificial death for our forgiveness. He cleanses the record of our sins in the sanctuary, where we believe that this ministry began in 1844. So in summary, to differentiate between forgiveness and a cleansing, I would say forgiveness of sin is just an immediate act upon accepting Christ, where one accepts Jesus Christ and they have that forgiveness of their sins. Whereas cleansing involves Jesus' ongoing ministry in the heavenly sanctuary, which will finally culminate in the final, started in the investigative judgment, which started in 1844. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that one coming. So can emphasis on cleansing in Adventist teachings be seen as distinct from a complementary to other Christian perspectives on the atoning work of Jesus?
Okay, so the distinctive aspects of Adventist teaching is what maybe I would love to talk about. So one of them, which is the sanctuary doctrine, where Adventists place significant emphasis on the heavenly sanctuary and its role in the atonement. So they believe that his ascension, that's Christ's ascension, Jesus Christ entered the most holy place of the sanctuary in heaven, and where he began the pre-Advent judgment, the investigative judgment, the judgment which vindicates God's people and bring justice against evil. So this the doctrine of the sanctuary is actually encompasses three key aspects related to Jesus, where the first one is the atoning work on the cross, where Jesus Christ sacrificed his own life, okay, for our own life, where he took our place. He died and gave his own life so that we could also become alive who were at some point worthy to die. The second point is his heavenly intercession, where he continues to minister on our behalf after we've accepted him, since he remains there up to an appointed time. For as long as we continue confessing our sins, repenting from them every day, he ministers there on our behalf, in place for us, trying to plead for us to God. Where the third point brings us to the judgment, which began, as I earlier stated, that there is a process that is happening where the records of every human being that is alive is being looked upon, how we live, how is our character, do we forsake the sins that we do after confessing them. And then also the three angels' message, where we proclaim the good news of the three angels' message, emphasizing that the hour of his judgment has come, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 there. So this message alone is unique in Adventism and undergoes an agency to the end times, calling upon people to understand the work that Christ is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. The other point that maybe I would like to also make is that on the complementary aspect, we as Adventists, we also believe in atonement, which is very universal, like other Christians. So we affirm the universal atonement made by Jesus Christ on the cross, where his sacrifice restored humanity in favor with God. So Jesus as the center, just as the high priest was the center of attention during the earthly sanctuary rituals or other services, we recognize as Adventists that Jesus Christ, the exclusive center, is the exclusive center of our faith. And his work brings cleansing and forgiveness to every believer. You can read Romans chapter 8, reading on verse number 34, and John chapter 1, reading on verse number 9.
Okay. So, final question. How does the belief in the cleansing aspect of Jesus' sacrifice impact us Adventists' views on the process of sanctification and growth in holiness?
So, the process of sanctification and growth in holiness is one very crucial, or I would say a pivotal aspect in a Christian life where I would not just love to remain where we are after we've accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So there is a process that we undergo of justification, where there is an involvement of God forgiving our sins and counting the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. So where, when we talk about sanctification itself, it means living a holy life, because he says, be ye holy, just like your Father who is in heaven is holy. So the process of us actually living a holy life goes beyond just mere forgiveness. So it involves God making believers holy, where we are required to die on a daily basis. So Jesus Christ sanctified and sent into the world because his perfect holiness allows us also to have part in that life of holiness, which is only found in him, which cannot be achieved on our own. So just like when he prayed in the book of John chapter 17 on verse 17, he said, sanctify them in the truth, for your word, God, is truth. So it means that he desired that his followers be made holy for the purpose also of their mission. And then this required dying to self on a daily basis, accepting that cleansing and sanctification that comes only through Jesus Christ. Then maybe I may also want to tackle the question to say, but then how are believers sanctified? So if we look at Romans chapter 6, reading on verse number 19, there the Apostle Paul explains that believers are sanctified only through righteousness, and the righteousness is only found in Jesus Christ. So just as we were once slaves to impurity and to sin, now we are to present ourselves as slaves to righteousness, for sanctification to take place in our lives. So being freed from sin, we are delivered from a sin or from iniquity, and Jesus Christ grants us or gives us that sanctification, which is only a gift. Then we also find an aspect of holiness in the heart, which results from Christ's gift of himself through the Holy Spirit. And then once we claim that, once that becomes ours, we find that in the end, we stand as victors over sin, because we claim the righteousness of God. We claim the power that comes only through the gift of God. Then we can read also first the chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading on verse number 13.
Oh, okay. Got it. I hear you. Would you be willing to get into a conversation about the sanctuary service and the 1844 prediction?
Okay, so
not now. On a different date, where we'll sit and spend 2 hours discussing this, and you can explain it to us. Is that okay?
It's very much okay with me.
Lovely. I'll let you know which date, and then we can have it here. Is that okay?
No problem.
Thank you very much, Evangelist. Appreciate it. Evangelist Brighton Hachilima talking to us about the atonement and cleansing, the distinction and similarities, and all that we need to know. Evangelist Brighton Hachilima, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, and have a blessed day too.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.